You name it, fisheries managers, subsistence harvesters, erosion control engineers, the oil industry, wildlife managers, shippers, tour companies. They're all looking for more science, and they all want more predictive capacity about the changes in the Arctic. Stepped up international cooperation coming out of the International Polar Year of 2007 and 8 may be delivering it. The Arctic Council of Nations endorsed the idea of what they call sustaining Arctic observing networks in 2009, and while not committing much in the way of funds, agreed to work toward monitoring the changing environment of the entire circumpolar Arctic. But it's not just Arctic nations that are interested in this research. Karen Fry, a geographer at Clark University in Massachusetts, is just back from a big meeting on Arctic science in Korea.
What's encouraging about this Arctic Science Summit Week is that we have significant participation by Chinese scientists, by Korean scientists, by Canadians, by Russians, by U.S., and it takes an international force to try to address some of these very important questions.
Among those questions, what do the dramatic environmental changes now underway in the Arctic mean for more populated areas to the south? Are there tipping points that might trigger even greater changes, and if so, can we know if we're getting close to them? And given the great number of times it's seen big climate swings in the past, in what ways is the Arctic likely to be resilient, and in what ways sensitive? Observational data is sparse, particularly extending back over a period of time. In scientific terms, there isn't much baseline, but there's some. And now scientists are seeing much more data. Jackie Grebmeier of the University of Maryland is an ecological oceanographer. She co-chaired the workshops in Korea, and she's been the chief scientist on several icebreaker cruises off the coast of Alaska. Over the past few years, she's persuaded scientific field teams from a number of different nations to all collect the same forms of data at the same spots in a transect that runs from near St. Lawrence Island in the Bering Sea, through the Bering Strait, along the coast of the Chukchi Sea, and up into the Beaufort Sea north of Barrow. It's called the Distributed Biological Observatory.
The reason that the DBO is actually the pilot program worked well is because we had six ships. No one country could have done what the six ships did together internationally.
For Grebmeier, biological is as much of a key word here as observatory. She wants to know about the food chain. In Korea, she met with Scandinavian, German, and Russian scientists who, it turns out, have been putting together time and space series of oceanographic measurements at the other end of the Arctic Ocean for some time. She says it really wouldn't take much to make the observatory circumpolar.
Now, if they have set measurements that could, besides temperature and salinity, but looking at the species composition, we could very quickly actually network and build a Pan-Arctic observation system that is biologically oriented.
Karen Fry says observations like these can then be compared with data coming in from new remote sensing technology recently declassified by the military. There are satellites now that can see individual animals, but they need to know where to look.
To be able to coordinate is huge, because it's very expensive to get icebreakers and other ships into these areas. And to be able to coordinate, rather than to just have a patchwork quilt of data, but to actually make a concerted effort to visit the same stations, can really give you a quite powerful data set.
Fry says satellites can easily see plankton at the base of the food chain, but surface observations enable geographers to know what they're actually seeing in the imagery. Meanwhile, off the west coast of Alaska, Jackie Grebmeier's patched-together observatory is already picking up a signal. It's one that won't surprise anybody. Species, a lot of different species, are moving from the Bering Sea northwards to the Chukchi in the Arctic.
So we're seeing subarctic species both in the zooplankton, we're seeing some of the phytoplankton, we're seeing it in some of the benthic animals. So I think what we have is that we're on the cusp of some major biological changes.
We'll know a lot more once data comes in from the field season now getting underway. Grebmeier and Fry say making the data gathered by different crews compatible is still a work in progress, but the problem is likely to ease because crews on research vessels are increasingly international. In Anchorage, I'm Steve Heimel.